He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big,
welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. Thank God it is Friday. What a better way to spend your Friday than to spend it here studying the Word of God. So God bless you guys today, whether you're tuned in at 6:30 a.m., 7:30 a.m., or 5:30 in the afternoon. We're tuning into God's frequency, hence the name of this program, WGOD. See, I know the secret, and I share it with you, friend. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. Lord God, we exalt you here today. We magnify you together. We praise you. We worship you, Almighty God, through doing what you say in your word. If you love me, you keep my commands, you said, and we do love you, and it's our pleasure to keep your commands. We ask for your blessings now on this study. Speak to us through your word. Empower us and equip us to be doers of what we hear here today. Help us to trust in you in the face of adversity. Help us to count it all joy when we encounter various trials, because we know the outcome, that the testing of our faith produces endurance. We praise you now, Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friday, I thank you for joining us here on this Friday. I invite you guys to church this weekend, and we're in an excellent study here, looking at Moses for 5 weeks. The first 2 weeks are already uploaded. You can find those, the audio on the podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast at WGOD Radio, All Truth All the Time, if you have an iPhone. Even on the Spotify, you search for that, subscribe to it. You can listen to those sermons. You can go to YouTube, and you'll see the video, at least from last week. Moses and the Burning Bush was last week. We had an excellent time here in the house. God brought the house down, looking at the holiness of God, looking at Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, who had their own worship service, and a terrible, terrible thing happened to them. And that's where we were at last week. This week, my sermon is entitled Moses and the Name of God. We're going to look at the name of God as he himself revealed it to Moses, and we're going to follow that name to God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, how he applies the same name to himself, which is why the Jews picked up stones to kill him, because he called himself Jehovah. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning at 10:30. You are invited. The place, Island Community Church. The location is 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. If you enjoy this radio program, if you are not a member of another church, if maybe your church never opens up the Bible and is not teaching the Word of God, then I invite you to attend one of our services. We have a small church, around 70 people, but I make no apologies for it. I praise God for it. Used to make apologies. Now I embrace it. I love the small church where everyone knows my name and I know everyone else's name. The people of our church have my cell phone number, and a lot can be said for a small church. And we preach the word of God here. That's what's on our church sign. You'll know it's us when you drive by and you'll see on the sign, it says the word of God is preached here. As you guys know, who listen into this radio program, that's what we do. That's what we're about to do. I don't mean to sound arrogant. There's no pride in that statement, but there's a famine of the word of God out here today. And I'm a word of God freak. I'm addicted to it. And it's up to you guys to decide whether or not you're blessed by that or not. But let's get into the word now. We're in Revelation. We're in chapter 6. And in this last program, I was pointing out to you how this is the same thing as what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24. John gives us a perspective from heaven when he says, and I saw when he opened the sixth seal, Revelation 6:12, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Now, this could be because of the earthquake. Just like today, when there's earthquakes, when there's Sahara dust, that we see the things that happen here that have a cause and effect with the celestial bodies. Verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth like a fig tree casting its untimely figs, being shaken by a mighty wind. But no one understand, this is because this is the working of God. This is the tribulation. These are events that we see unfold in heaven, and they're carried out by angels here on earth. Now, that's John's perspective from heaven. Jesus is going to show us his perspective when he was alive here from the earth. So we've seen it from above. Now we're going to be on the ground looking up, whereas he was looking down immediately after the tribulation of those days. Remember, look to see when this takes place after the tribulation. So immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will wail, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with heaven, of the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Greek word there, synago, which means, you know, like synagogue, is a gathering. And when you add the word epi to it, gathering together, like an epicenter, gathering together here in the center, surrounding him. All in one place. This is not his return with his feet to the ground, landing on the Mount of Olives. This is him gathering together his elect from the four winds. He tells you when, after the tribulation. If you have a good Bible, you'll notice the link here between these texts. 1 Thessalonians 4:15, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. At the last trumpet, 1 Corinthians 15:51, we also see the response of people when Jesus comes back. He said himself out of his own mouth, it's in red letters in your Bible, this is when he comes back, all the tribes of the earth will wail when they see him come back. Not what my response is going to be. How about yours today on this Friday? What will be your response when Jesus comes back? Are you going to rejoice when he comes back, or are you going to wail? People are going to wail because all those that were deceived, remember, when he comes back, they're going to see him, they're going to look up, then they're going to remember and look down, and they're going to see on their right hand that they did what the last government told them to do. In order to buy or sell, they took the mark of the beast, and that is why people are going to wail when Jesus returns and not rejoice. Verse 31, he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. There's your trumpet of 1 Thessalonians 15:51, the great rapture text that people love to use to preach and teach the rapture. Well, Jesus has just told you when it's going to happen, at the end of the age. Not only that, not only in this text. Remember, the Apostle Paul writes, the dead in Christ will rise first. Well, when do the dead in Christ rise? John 6:39, 6:40, 6:44, and 6:54. Four times Jesus tells you that I will raise them up on the last day. The day in Christ, the dead in Christ rise on the last day. Paul says the dead in Christ rise first. Then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Jesus says it's on the last day. Jesus says it's at the end of the tribulation. John here says, this is the place to find this is right here, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. Now let's get back to the book of Revelation. I just want you to see today what the response is going to be from people on earth when Jesus comes back. You also can read it in Revelation chapter 7. You see, understand he's not going in order. The end of the world is right there in chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes or all the kindreds of the earth will wail because of him. Then John says, even so, amen. Or we can say today, instead of even so, is it is what it is. It is what it is, amen. It is what it is. He's coming back, and everyone's going to be upset that he's coming back. Hey, it is what it is. Amen. That's not going to be my response. How about yours? John has said it. Jesus has now told you as well. Everyone is going to wail when Jesus comes back. That's not a good word. That's acknowledging that you've been deceived, which was Jesus's number one warning when they said, when they said, what'll be the sign of your coming? What'll be the sign of the end of the world? He said, take heed or be careful or you better watch out. Don't let anyone deceive you. And here you see the end result of it is when Jesus comes back, people are going to wail and not rejoice. Now back to Revelation chapter 6, verse 14. Then the sky was split like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island were removed out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the magnates and the high-ranking military men and the rich and the mighty and every slave and every free man, they hid themselves in the caves and in the crags of the mountains. Verse 16, and they said to the mountains and crags, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? So, how's your worldview now? We looked before, remember, and at the newspaper in England that was all bent out of shape because a world leader, he said he got his worldview out of the Bible. How are you doing now with that? Look at their response here when Jesus comes back. Look at their response of people here in the world. Hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who will be able to stand? I'd say to you, you better become a theocrat now before it's too late. Get your worldview from the Bible, not from the world, because you've got tomorrow's newspaper here. You've got win, place, and show of every race here coming up. You can't lose. Follow God's biblical worldview, and you can't lose. Trust God. Believe him. Jesus is coming back again. Don't take the mark of the beast. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and you love him more than you love yourself. There is your worldview. May it be the Christian, the biblical worldview of how to be an overcomer. Now, let's keep moving here. Let's move on to chapter 7. Now, after these things, now he's moving on to another vision. He's not going maybe in time-wise, chronological order. He's seeing another vision now. So after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, so that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." Now, this seal represents protection and ownership by God. Much as he protected Noah from the flood, Israel from the plagues of Egypt, and Rahab and her household in Jericho when she put that scarlet, that red piece, that scarlet hanging out of the window there, or like the Jews with the death angel with the blood of the lamb around the doors of the house here. This is God's protection and ownership. Notice here, these servants of God will be sealed. So did you know today that you too are sealed? And it's not that you're going to be sealed. You are already sealed. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 tells us this. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Greek word arabon, it meant in classical Greek, engagement ring. You have an engagement ring, not on you, but in you, and it's the Holy Spirit. You are already sealed. This is not something here that you're going to wait to happen here in this chapter 7. So these now, this very well could be after the Lord has taken his own and the church out of this world. These guys haven't been sealed yet. You already have been. You've been sealed when you believed. Let me read it to you again. Book, chapter, and verse. 2 Corinthians 1:22 and Ephesians 1:13. So he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee or a pledge. Again, arabon meant engagement ring. You are engaged to God. You have been given a down payment, a guarantee, a pledge. God's not only you, he's put his left hand down on the stack of Bibles. He's raised his right hand, and he looks at you today on this Friday and says, "You belong to me." Praise God, is that good news here today on this Friday? This is not something you're awaiting to happen. You're not waiting to be sealed. These angels aren't going to be told to stand down and wait until you are sealed. You already are. These people haven't been yet. So he's not talking to you here. You already are sealed. You're waiting for this time. Also, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul writes, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Who is the, here's the Greek word again, arabon, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. You, friend, are already sealed. All of you who have already received the Lord Jesus Christ, all of you who have confessed him, remember, he who confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Have you done that yet today? All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. When you do that, when you are baptized and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are sealed by the Spirit of the living God as a pledge of further things to come. Eye is not seen, nor is ear heard, nor is entered into the hearts of men that which God has prepared for those that love him. This is a pledge. It's a guarantee. And since God can swear by no one greater, he swears by himself. And he's raised his hand and he guarantees that you belong to him. Now, there is some ownership to talk about here today. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So these here will be sealed just like you already are. Look at what God did to Cain. Genesis chapter 4, Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you've driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I will be hidden from your face. I will be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it'll happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone find him should kill him. You see, God's put his mark on you as well. He has sealed you, and the sealing is the Holy Spirit. That's why you are invincible out here in the world today. That's what he means when the Apostle John says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." This is why David can say, "When I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter." Psalm 56. "This I know, because God is for me. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. What can man do to you?" David wrote, "What can any demon do to you?" This is the mystery, the secret that the devil doesn't want you to know, wants you to stay deceived, that greater is he that is in you. The devil can't hurt you because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. No one can harm you. You're not waiting to be sealed. You already are. So likewise, God is instructing these angels to put a similar mark on these 144,000 Jews. Jews, make no mistake about it. They're Jews. Verse 4, "I heard the number." Make no mistake about how many of them either. He said, "I heard the number." And I wonder, always wondered when I read that, how did he hear that? Well, I reckon someone must have told him. He said, "I heard the number of them." Someone said, "Hey, John, by the way, there's 144,000 of these guys, 12,000 from each tribe." It's verse 4, "I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed." Now, don't spiritualize this. He's not talking about the church. He's talking about Jews. You are already sealed. He's not talking about you. This time of tribulation is a time of Jacob's trouble, not yours. Verse 5, "Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Joseph, 12,000. Benjamin, 12,000. Literal or symbolic? I do not know, church. I'm sorry. This could be symbolic because 12 times 12 times 1,000 symbolizes completeness. A similar multiple appears in chapter 21, verse 16, when John is measuring the New Jerusalem. So, attempts have been made to identify these 12 tribes here with the church, mostly to avoid the implication this is literal Israel. The fact that specific tribes are mentioned by name and specific numbers from each tribe are given removes any symbolic interpretation of this in your understanding. You've got to take this as a literal interpretation because this is so specific for the number and it's so specific for who this is talking about. Nowhere else in the Bible do a dozen references to the 12 tribes mean the church. It's not talking about the church. Obviously, Israel will be in the tribulation, And though men do not know the identification of each tribe today, certainly God knows the identification of them. We'll stop right here in the middle of chapter 7. We'll pick it up here probably Monday, and then Tuesday and Wednesday, you'll hear my sermon from this Sunday. I'd love to see you. We, this wonderful church family, would love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30, Moses and the name of God. We're going to look at that too in the New Testament, how the Lord Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. That's where we're going to end up this Sunday morning. I invite you guys to church. We would love to see you 10:30 Sunday morning. We'll pick it up here probably on Monday here, Revelation chapter 7, going through verse by verse. And I appreciate you guys following along with us here. Thanks for joining us here at Island Community Church Radio Show. You are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.